we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you here on WMIE 91.5 FM. We want to welcome you to a wonderful Tuesday. Pray that God is watching over you and blessing you in every area of your life. Thank you for making part of your day. And we just want to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God, should you have the opportunity. Normally, we would be announcing our vintage service, except for we are suspending that during the summer. Because of some extensive travel schedules and things like that. No problems there. Our attendance was still running about average, but we're just going to relaunch that a little bit closer to fall. So that will resume at a later time. We'll let you know when that takes place. Our kids ministry is continuing, even though our youth and children's pastors are gone. They're in boot camp right now out at Teen Missions, and then they will be headed to Guatemala and other parts of the world here in a couple of weeks. And so be praying for all of the team members out there. Lots of mosquitoes and things like that, so they need prayers and protection. So that's what's going on. We're going to get to the Word here in just a moment, but I'm a pastor, and as a pastor, I've done a lot of things to help minister to people. You know, when we first got to the church, there was a family that went on vacation. When they came home, they found out that my wife had mowed their lawn for them. And just as a way of being blessing, the first time I ever changed a wax seal in a toilet, it was for one of the ladies in the church. And so I have a pastor's heart. It's not just for the spiritual aspect of people's lives, but for other aspects of their lives as well. And we have had a tremendous heat wave here early in the summer, or late spring. I guess summer is just now beginning. And so as a result of that, I know of about four different individuals that have had to have entirely new air conditioning units. And so I've been talking with some of our AC people. By the way, I want to give you these two numbers. You can write them down and have it nearby. If you miss it, if you don't find it, you can always go onto WMIE's website, download the podcast version, type in the dates, and, you know, I make these announcements in the first 5 minutes of the broadcast. But two air conditioning companies that we do business with and can recommend highly. There's Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284, and they operate here in central Brevard County. And then there is Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 632-9538, 632-9538. And so I just wanted to maybe address some things that you could do that would help prolong the life of your air conditioner, put less strain on it. I got my electric bill last week. It was not the same as it was in February. It was considerably higher. And so we made some adjustments at our house just because after conversations with some of the air conditioning people I wanted to pass on to you. The first thing that you could do that could be a blessing to your air conditioner and potentially save you thousands of dollars. I was talking to a businessman last week, and he said that he was having a $5,000 unit put in. Not somebody from our church, just somebody I was talking with in the community, that his AC had gone out and it was going to cost $5,000. And so I really want to do this as a ministry to you to help your financial situation. finances can put strain on relationships. They can put strain on your giving. They can put strain on your spiritual condition if there's a big bill that hits like that. So with that being said, there is something that you can do that's very simple, and that is, excuse me, go around and check your air filter and change it frequently. Normally I would say once a month ought to be sufficient. If you have pets, you may want to double check that more frequently than that. And one thing that we've done when we've had pets is we used one of those inexpensive reusable filters to catch the large items, and then we had a lesser filter, a paper filter behind that that we use to catch the dust particles. You want to change that. If you've got a reusable, you want to wash it out frequently because your air conditioner doesn't have to work as hard when there is more air that is flowing through it. An air AC person that I talked to recently said you want to make sure that you use a filter that is porous enough that air can get through it. You need to be able to see through it. And so if you start seeing the filter turn from white to tan, you might want to go ahead and change that. It only costs you $4 or $5, if that, to replace the filter, and that can be really beneficial. You also want to clean out your condensation line. You don't want anything backing up into your house or anything like that. Also, check around the outside part of your unit. This is probably the strangest ministry radio program you've ever heard, but it can really be something that is beneficial to you. Check that outside unit and make sure that there are no weeds that have grown up around it, or dust or paper or debris or anything like that that is blocking the airflow. That you need that airflow to get the heat out of the house. I would also encourage you to make sure that there's nothing preventing heat from escaping out of your roofs. If you have things stored in your attic, you don't want them blocking off the vents and stuff like that. You want to make sure you have the proper amount of airflow. If you have ceiling fans, run those. It keeps the air circulated. Your air conditioner won't work as hard. I've also been told that one of the best things that you can do is keep your air conditioner set at a steady temperature. That way heat doesn't build up in the house and then your AC unit have to work harder to get the heat out of the system. One more thing that I would say to you, and that is if you are going out and about in the community, please do not leave children or pets in the car. Even with the window cracked, it will still get very, very, very hot, and they're dangerously hot inside the car. And so please, please, if you're going to be out and about, leave your animals in a place where they can be cool. Make sure that they have plenty of water, plenty of shade, that they can take cover and take shelter under. So those are just some practical things. And even if your electric bill goes up a little bit, but you don't have to replace your unit, it saves you thousands of dollars in the long run. And so once again, if your unit needs servicing, if you happen to be a senior or whatever, don't just put up with the heat. Give one of these two businesses a call. It's Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, or Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 632-9538. Let them come out. Let them get you up and running and staying cool. We want you around here as long as possible. You are divinely placed by God in this community for His purpose, and we don't want something as silly as a broken AC unit hindering your ability to minister to Him. So stay cool out there. Now, let's go into the scriptures today, because I do always like to bring you a message from the Word. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 19. Isaiah chapter 19. And as I'm not going to be able to read the whole passage, especially after the long AC stint that I just did there. But this begins, and it says, the burden against Egypt. And we've already talked about how when God speaks, he speaks to nations. He doesn't just speak to Israel. He speaks to Egypt as well. And as we begin to look in this chapter, you are going to see that it begins in a very negative manner for Egypt. And you would think that that would be a bad thing, but you would have to look at the end of the discussion. You would have to look at the end of the chapter to see what God's ultimate goal for Egypt is, and that this beginning that seems very negative is actually designed by God to bring them to a very, very precious place in his kingdom. So remember that as we are going through these passages of scripture. Verse number 1 says, the burden against Egypt. Behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and will come into Egypt. The idols of Egypt will totter at his presence, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. I will tell you this, that wherever the presence of God, God decides to manifest that presence, there is nothing that can be done that is going to prevent him from manifesting. It doesn't matter the idols that are set up. It doesn't matter if it's Dagon and the Philistines or all of the gods of Egypt. It says that just as Dagon had fallen over and in his very own temple, it said the idols of Egypt will totter. First day with my new mouth, I guess. The idols of Egypt will totter at his presence. And I want to thank God that there's nothing that can overthrow him. He is not an object that has to be set in place that can be overwhelmed, or if it gets off balance just a little bit, can fall. It says here that God desires to have his presence manifest in a manner that demonstrates his superiority and his supremacy over any idol that resides in the land. And it says that when that manifestation happens, and it said, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. What happens is if people are gaining their confidence, if they have put their trust in anything other than God, if they have put it in an idol of any form, and in the New Testament identifies greed as idolatry. If you have confidence in anything, any idol, your job, whatever it might be, your government, your position, your authority, your power, whatever it might be, anything that you have in that, when the presence of God comes in, you will see the fallacies, the weakness, the incapacitation of those things that you had put your trust in. Put your trust in the Creator, not in the created things. Put your trust in the Creator, not in the created things. Because what happens is when we put our faith and trust in anything other than God, when that thing falls, it causes our heart, just like it says here in verse 1, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. It causes the very core of our being to lose all of its confidence. And folks, when you've lost that which you have confidence in, you're left bewildered, you're left hopeless, until you turn to Jesus. And like I said, this starts off very negative against Egypt. But wait till we get to the end of the chapter, and you will see. By the way, we're not going to get to that today. But the one thing that I want you to focus on as we go through chapter 19 are phrases like this, in its midst. It happens in verse number 1. It also happens again. Let me see if I can find the second one. Where did it go? In verse number 3. It says the spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst. It happens a third time in verse number 14. The Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in her midst. It happens a fourth time in verse number 19. In that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt. And then it happens again a fifth time at the end of the chapter in verse number 24. It says, a blessing in the midst of the land. So God really wants to get to the very core, the very heart of the matter. He doesn't want to just work on the tangents of our life or on the perimeter of our life, the external of our. He wants to work his supernatural work, his transforming capabilities in the very core of our existence. He wants to be what our world revolves around. Do you know that when the tribes of Israel set up camp, they set up camp, and at the very core was the tribe of Levi, the tabernacle, and the Ark of the Covenant. God wanted to be, he always desired to dwell in the midst of his people. And he longs to dwell in your midst and my midst. He wants to dwell there. And anything that is at the core of our existence that is not of him, he wants to displace. Not because he hates us, but because he's the only one that can bring satisfaction there. Verse number 2 says, I will set Egyptians against Egyptians. Everyone will fight against his brother and everyone against his neighbor. City against city, kingdom against kingdom. The spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst, and I will destroy their counsel, and they will consult their idols and their charmers, the mediums and the sorcerers. And the Egyptians I will give into the hand of a cruel master, and a fierce king will rule over them, says the Lord of hosts. And so what happens is whenever a society has at its very core something other than God, whether it's an idol, a philosophy, whatever it might be, anything that is not of him, it's going to bring us to that place where eventually there is going to be civil strife and unrest. And folks, you do not have to have 20/20 vision to be able to see that in America currently that we have strife and discord over just about every topic under the sun, and maybe some above the sun. There are people who are willing to go to blows, if you will, over the fact that you don't agree with them. Now, here's the thing. I'm preaching the Word of God. I have the utmost confidence in this Word. I put my trust in this Word. I want to share this Word. I want everyone to have the opportunity to hear this Word. I want you to have the opportunity to receive it or to reject it. And so I'm not here to compel you. Do you realize that I have no ability to compel you to listen to the Word that I'm preaching here today? You have to make a choice to receive it. And here's what happens. A lot of times, if we listen to somebody and we don't like what they say, then we tune them out, we reject them, and we don't necessarily listen long enough to find out why they believe what they believe. We deal with things in a very superficial manner. If we don't like it, we don't listen to it. And so, you know, if you don't like my preaching, you can change the channel. You can tune back in later. I'm sure someone better will come on. And but I'm here to share with you that right now I look at America and I see us in a very dangerous place. I see us in a place very similar to Egypt. Not that God wants us to be in this place, but whenever we shifted away from a society based upon biblical principles, to now, we have devolved into a society that is based around other things, a diverse amount of things, and we have reached a place in America where people are preaching tolerance, all the while they are the most intolerant people, and Christianity seems to be the lone group of people whose voice is not welcome in the discussion. And if that is the case, I will be a proud vocal, outspoken person for Christianity and for the Word of God, because it is true whether anybody believes it or not. When they sent the spies into the Promised Land, there were two people who believed that God was able to bring about the victory over the people in the Promised Land, Joshua and Caleb. The other spies didn't, and all of the rest of the nation sided with the spies who brought back an evil report. The truth was, God was able, and God did bring them into the Promised Land. The truth was there. They didn't embrace it, and they were the ones who suffered as a result of it. They did not get to go into the Promised Land. They later said, you know what? We blew it. Let's go into the Promised Land. And Moses said, it's not going to go well. And they went in anyway, and they experienced defeat. You and I, we need to embrace the Word of God. And whether anybody, whether society as a whole rejects it or not, stay true to the Word of God. And so it says, everyone will fight against his brother and his neighbor. Cities will be fighting against one another, kingdom against kingdom. It says this, verse number 3, the spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst. And so before it was the heart, and you know, if you talk about the emotions of it, their heart has failed in the midst. Now it says that their spirit, here in verse number 3, will fail in the midst. The heart melted earlier. This time there is a spiritual failure. Whenever, and I want to show you what spiritual failure looks like. This is what spiritual failure looks like. They consult the idols and the charmers, the mediums and the sorcerers. That's what spiritual failure looks like. Whenever you are looking to other sources for wisdom and discernment and insight and direction, and you are not looking to God, that is spiritual failure. And those spirits will fail. They will never bring about the desired result. And says, as a result of that, he said, I will destroy their counsel. And so we're getting ready to look at a few other verses here, and you will see what that looks like. Spiritual failure occurs when we begin to seek spiritual insight from sources other than God. And I will tell you this, I'm Pentecostal, I'm charismatic. I'm thankful for the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm very thankful for them. I'm thankful that God has endowed every member in the body of Christ with a spiritual gift that he intends for them to use for the benefit of others and for the benefit of the kingdom. Thankful for that. But here, I don't go around chasing after prophetic words. God knows exactly where I'm at. You know what I do? If I need a word from heaven, or if I don't even think that I need a word from heaven, I just get into the presence of God and say, God, what do you want to tell me? Waken, Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 4. Awaken my ear to hear as a learned one, so that I can receive a word that will sustain the weary, whether that person of weariness is myself or if it's someone else. Give me a word that will impart strength to them. So here's spiritual maturity. Get into the presence of God. Find out what God has to say. Spiritual counsel from heaven will never fail. So here's what counsel that is destroyed looks like. It says in verse number 11, surely the princes of Zoan are fools. Pharaoh's wise counselors give foolish counsel. How do you say to Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of the ancient kings? Where are they? Where are your wise men? Let them tell you now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts has purposed against Egypt. And so it says in verse 13, the princes of Zoan have become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also deluded Egypt, those who are the mainstay of the tribes. And so whenever there is an ungodly council, it is going to fail to address the substantive issues that people are really longing for. The goal is verse number 12, let them know what the Lord of hosts has purposed. What is God's purpose? Failed spiritual counsel leads people into foolishness, not wisdom. Failed spiritual counsel leads to deception instead of truth. Failed spiritual counsel leads to delusion instead of reality. And so God wants to work in the very core of our being so that we know the truth, so that we pursue that truth, so we see God as he really is, and he leads us into spiritual wisdom. We gain insight from heaven where we end up saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, saith the Lord. So with that being said, what's the core of your existence look like? Is it built around and revolve around God, or is it built and revolve around? We just came through Father's Day. Men, is it built? Is your life built around your relationship with God, or is it built around your work, or is it built around your hobby, or is it built around your addictions or your sin strongholds? What is it that it built around? Because if it's built around God, it's going to have one outcome. Anything else is eventually going to lead to foolishness. And guys, I know that we think that we are so smart, but in Proverbs it says that there are men who are led around by sexual enticement, and they are led to their own destruction, not really understanding how imminent their destruction was. Don't be foolish. Embrace God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I pray that God will work in the core of our existence to bring about what he wants in our life. And it is a glorious outcome. So let me just say one more time, stay cool out there today. If you're out in the heat, stay hydrated. Make sure you take lots of breaks and take good care of your physical being. You only get one of those. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that we ask you today for wisdom. We ask for you to be the most important aspect of our life. Lord, I pray that we would have you at our foundation, and Lord, that you would be the goal. Today, may we pursue your heart and your will in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.